This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharitz Abdullah and you are listening to The Breakfast Grill. When we speak of New Zealand, there are two things that spring into our mind. It would most likely be the Lord of the Rings and also the All Blacks rugby team. So New Zealand, or Aotearoa as it's known in Māori, is blessed with beautiful nature and scenery. And as a result, one would assume that promoting New Zealand tourism would be a walk in the park. However, despite their reputation as one of the most scenic destinations in the world, they have yet to make it on the UNWTO top 10 list of the world's top tourist destination. In fact, their tourist arrival has been on average 1/7 of the number of tourists that arrives in Malaysia. How can this be the case? And could there be a conspiracy against New Zealand? Well, joining me this morning to explain the many questions that we have on New Zealand and the conspiracy against the country is Stephen Dixon, the Regional Manager of South and Southeast Asia at Tourism New Zealand. Steve, kia ora, and thank you for joining us on The Breakfast Grill.
Kia ora, good morning.
So let's talk about the world conspiring to take New Zealand off the map. Now, that's been going around the social media. Can you explain to us what happened here and have Rhys Darby solved the conspiracy of New Zealand being taken off the world map?
Oh, that's an interesting way to start the interview, and it's a lot of fun. Look, it's it first transpired when our CEO was having a cup of coffee in San Francisco in a very well-known coffee outlet over there and looked up and noticed that New Zealand wasn't on the map. Subsequently, we did a little bit of research online, and unbeknownst to us, that there was a website dedicated to putting New Zealand on the map as we were left off on a majority of maps around the world. We thought it was a bit of fun. We launched a campaign. We had our Prime Minister involved and a very well-known comedian in New Zealand to find out whether there was a conspiracy or not. I guess the end result for us, it's actually not such a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, New Zealand's a popular destination, but as you said earlier, we still have a relatively small amount of people coming to New Zealand per head of our population.
So, I mean, that's great. I mean, it just reflects the sort of sense of humor that New Zealand has, especially when you manage to get your prime minister to take part. So I'm interested to find out how different is Jacinda Ardern's view on tourism in comparison to other prime ministers before her, as well as her vision for Tourism New Zealand?
It's fantastic having the support that we have from our Prime Minister. As you know, that our former Prime Minister was also the Minister of Tourism, and he was very much involved, just as Prime Minister Ardern is. And she's very close with tourism policy. She's very close to climate consciousness, very close to tourism sustainability. And for us as a tourism organisation, that's absolutely imperative as we move forward to ensure that New Zealand remains and it is kept, an exciting, a refreshing, and the experiences are just as good as they are now for future generations.
On a more serious note here, one of the most recent development that's happening in Malaysia with regards to our tourists going to New Zealand is the availability of direct flights. So as early as 2019, Air Asia X, now they've suspended their direct flights services to Auckland and now using a stop at Australia Gold Coast, which makes it less attractive to fly into New Zealand. So this also means that New Zealand has one of the lowest low-cost carrier international penetration rate in the Asia Pacific. It's at 7.5%. Why do you think that this is a challenge for New Zealand?
I think there are a number of ways to go to New Zealand, and absolutely a drop in capacity from any destination will have an immediate impact on the total amount of people coming to that country. But as we see in Malaysia, like we do in many destinations around the world, there are a number of one-stop options in order to get to New Zealand. And we know that, for example, in Malaysia, we have Malaysia Airlines. We also have Singapore Airlines and Air New Zealand as part of the alliance, who are very active in Malaysia. We know that Air New Zealand, for example, are starting a new flight from Singapore, which is only a hop, skip and a jump and away from Malaysia, later this year. That will see people going on a daily route down to the South Island in Christchurch, which we know is incredibly popular for Malaysians. So there's a drop in that low-cost carrier capacity, but certainly there's a number of other one-stop options.
Is it your responsibility, Stephen, to try and push, encourage more airlines to fly direct to New Zealand?
As a tourism board, our focus is around increasing the value of visitors that arrive to New Zealand. We operate what we call a portfolio mix. So we operate in 15 different markets around the world in terms of spending money and marketing and advertising New Zealand. So we don't spend money actively promoting New Zealand globally. It's too expensive, so we're much more targeted in our approach. And why we do that is because we focus on markets that we believe will deliver the most value to the New Zealand economy, and that doesn't necessarily mean volume. And when I talk about value, I'm talking about the number of people that come to New Zealand and spend a certain amount of money. The number of people that come to New Zealand and visit the different regions of New Zealand, and the number of people that come to New Zealand, stay a long time and experience all the different offerings that New Zealand has.
Okay.
And also the number of people that come to New Zealand during off-peak.
Okay, Stephen, so I think what you've just done here is that you've just described the demographic that you'd like to bring to New Zealand, but you're also saying that, you're trying to, at the same time, trying to limit, it sounds like there's an attempt to try and limit the number of tourists. So would you consider yourself unable to attract high-value tourists if you were to compare yourself with the likes of other cities like Dubai, New York and London?
No, I wouldn't say that our focus is on limiting the number of tourists that come to New Zealand. Tourism is an incredibly important part of New Zealand's economy. It's our largest foreign export earner, delivering around about $11 billion into the New Zealand economy, which we expect to be about $14 billion in 2024. Most importantly, it employs 1 in 7 New Zealanders.
Yeah,
and our role, I guess, really is that if designed and managed well, tourism has that ability to deliver more than just numbers into New Zealand, but significant social, cultural, environmental and kind of economic benefits, which essentially will make New Zealand a better place for not only New Zealanders, but visitors alike.
Have you been successful, Stephen, do you think? Again, if I were to compare, say, Auckland, in comparison to cities like Dubai, New York and London, they've been able to attract high-value tourists, the one that you're describing at the moment.
I think the numbers do speak for themselves. I think, as I said, it is the largest contributor to the New Zealand economy in terms of foreign export earnings. And we also know that we don't just measure, I guess, success on the number of dollars that are spent in New Zealand. There are other factors. We tend to take a holistic view at tracking the impact of tourism into New Zealand. We talk about socially inclusive growth with regards to, are people going to different parts of New Zealand? Are new products, tourism products, being opened up in different parts of New Zealand? Do we see more arrivals coming during the off-peak so that businesses can be sustainable year-round? The other thing that we look at, obviously, is customer experience. Are visitors coming to New Zealand, are they enjoying themselves? Are they having a time that exceeds what they expected to have in New Zealand? And obviously another one is around, is tourism good for New Zealanders? Do New Zealanders agree that tourism is having a positive impact on their daily lives?
What is the answer for that, Stephen? Is there a pushback from the community towards tourism development in New Zealand?
No, the last time that we held a poll on that, we understood that about 93% of New Zealanders believe that tourism was good for New Zealand. And a lot of the story around that is ensuring that New Zealanders understand that the contribution that New Zealand makes to their daily life. And an example recently, I was talking to a dentist in one of our smaller towns, Kaikoura, at the top of the South Island, beautiful for whale watching. and amongst others, some fantastic activities. And the dentist said to me that around about one in five of his clients was an international tourist. So without the tourists coming to his town, having a dentist for the locals wouldn't be possible.
So I guess those are indirect benefits that you see out of tourism. But how about the tourist location itself? Is that the reason why that you've sort of introduced the $35 visitor levy last year, which is to limit the number of tourists, to control the number of tourists that's coming in?
It's really to ensure that New Zealand gives back to New Zealand in terms of tourism spend. It's really important for us, for New Zealanders and for our visitors, that New Zealand continues to be equipped to welcome international visitors, that we continue to protect our beautiful places that visitors come to see and enjoy, that we continue to fund, I guess, visitor-related infrastructure, which all requires billions of dollars investment. So it's very, very important for us and for our visitors that this the conversation happens, and it did, around how do we put money back into the New Zealand economy to ensure that these elements are preserved and protected for future enjoyment.
Okay,
so that's really the purpose of the levy.
So, Stephen, just stay on the line with us. In the meantime, I'm speaking to Stephen Dixon, the regional manager of South and Southeast Asia Tourism New Zealand. We'll be speaking with Stephen on whether New Zealand is able to manage over tourism in New Zealand after these short messages. So stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. On The Breakfast Grill this morning is Stephen Dixon, the Regional Manager of South and Southeast Asia at Tourism New Zealand. Now, Stephen, the conversation that we had earlier, it was sort of directing this conversation into the issue of over-tourism. Now, so the low number of tourist receipts as well as low-cost flight, it just seemed like it's pinpointing towards New Zealand trying to limit the number of tourists because you care about your environment and there is a need to protect it, yeah? Could we just have New Zealand's position when it comes to issue of over-tourism?
I think absolutely New Zealand has been an increasingly popular destination for international tourists over the last while, and we've seen tremendous growth from all of our markets, from all of the 15 markets that we operate globally. And we know that has been unprecedented growth. But we also know that growth like that is somewhat cyclical. And as you see globally at the moment, there's been somewhat of a slowdown in outbound travel and long-haul travel due to various factors, socioeconomic impacts, you know, changes in fuel prices, some increased and aggressive competition from other destinations as well. So we're certainly not concerned that over-tourism is happening in New Zealand. But what's really important for us is to ensure that what the model is that we operate on is sustainable, both in terms of the environment, but also in terms of how we market New Zealand for the long run globally.
So, okay, let's look at some of the numbers. I mean, because you mentioned that it's not about volume, it's about high value. For example, your international tourism itself has contributed about $16 billion. Let's look at how much tourism is contributing to its GDP. For example, it's at 6.1%. And it's also one of the biggest export industry, as you mentioned earlier, how 21% of foreign exchange earnings comes from tourism. And, you know, the list goes on. Those are really encouraging numbers. Can we just get a clear picture? What is your target revenue for the year 2019 and 2020 for New Zealand tourism?
Currently, we as I said, we're tracking around about $11 billion. And if we look to 2024, which would be our next, as part of our tourism, a government tourism framework, we can expect that to reach around about $14 billion. But more than anything, as I said, you know, our focus is around ensuring that some of the other metrics, some of the holistic metrics that we measure are maintained or exceeded to ensure that New Zealand that tourism is having a positive impact on New Zealand, not just from a financial standpoint, but also from a socioeconomic standpoint, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of sector productivity, and in terms of the way that New Zealanders perceive tourism into the sector. And we know that currently we are checking those boxes off in a positive light. We know that off-peak arrivals, there's more people coming to New Zealand during the off-peak than peak. We know that the spend is greater in the different regions of New Zealand than in the main centres. And if we keep continuing on that track, then we're in good stead.
So I see that as a predicament. On one hand, well, you're trying to do your job, you're trying to improve the numbers when it comes to contribution from tourism. But at the same time, you are needing to sort of strike that balance in maintaining holistic sort of management of tourism within the country. I mean, does that mean that Tourism New Zealand has this vision where it has to close itself up a little bit and, I guess, transform its tourism to make it a more exclusive destination?
I think New Zealand has always been an exclusive, relatively exclusive destination. There's no secret that we are relatively remote. We're not easy to get to. Mm-hmm. And that, to be honest, that has been, I think, part of the allure for a lot of people around the world. We have some of the experiences and some of the landscapes, the diverse landscapes and a range of different experiences that you can that you can't enjoy anywhere else in the world. They're only unique in New Zealand. And that's part of the exclusiveness of New Zealand. That's part of the allure, and that's part of what brings people to New Zealand. And essentially that's why we have the world's longest brand campaign called 100% Pure New Zealand.
Okay.
Which really talks about an experience in New Zealand that is unique to New Zealand.
And so it's very interesting to see that if you were to compare three countries, put India, Malaysia and Singapore side by side, the number of tourists that are coming in from Malaysia and Singapore, it's much higher than India. And you say that you are attempting to bring in high value tourists from India to New Zealand. Can we know the details here? I mean, how much are you spending to promote Tourism New Zealand in Singapore, Malaysia and India? And because... just to explain the reason why the number of tourists from India is much lower than, you know, the other two countries.
The overall spend, we spend about 80% of our operating budget marketing New Zealand offshore. And depending on, I guess, we take a sort of a categorization approach to servicing the markets, where we look at near-term value in order to maximise that, and that's some of our core markets, such as Australia, China, USA, for example. And then we look at medium-term growth or established markets, and that would be where Singapore would fit in, and probably Malaysia, or definitely Malaysia as well. And then we look at longer-term development, and they would be our emerging markets. And essentially, we may spend more money to establish brand, for example, brand awareness in some of those emerging markets, where the consumer may know less about New Zealand than some of the mature markets like Singapore. We know that Singapore and Malaysia, we have very high repeat visitation to New Zealand, less so in India. But we also know that in India, there are a lot of people, and it's got a long-haul market that is growing twice as fast as its short-haul market, which is actually a little bit of an anomaly globally. And we also know that Indians, on average, almost do more activities than any other market around the world. So when they come to New Zealand, they bungee jump, they visit our restaurants, our vineyards, enjoy our jet boats, our scenery. They do, on average, over 20 activities during their stay. So it's an incredibly valuable market for us to invest in. But it's going to be a long-term game. So that hopefully sort of breaks down the rationale as to why some of our attention in some of the emerging markets that have a smaller number might have a slightly greater investment. But it's not a significantly different investment.
Does it ever concern Tourism New Zealand that you're sort of venturing into some very sticky ground when it comes to sort of drawing a plan that is based on preferential treatment towards certain countries?
No, because we operate on a fixed budget that is given to us by the government each year. So it would be impossible for us to service and not the best use of funds to service or to market New Zealand around the world, particularly as the costs of advertising continue to increase. So what we do, we look at a target market or an audience segment who are actively considering New Zealand already as a holiday. You know, they have it in their shortlist, so to speak. And then we serve content, essentially, that's relevant to the kinds of information. It's very targeted to that visitor, content that's most of benefit to them, so that they're more likely to book a trip to New Zealand with less friction.
Now, with regards to Malaysia itself, now you've seen a drop of number of tourists. You've lost about 3.6%. Now, with the Malaysian currency being stronger, now what are your plans to try and boost the numbers? I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, when we have a better currency, you expect more tourists to come from Malaysia.
Absolutely. So we're really excited to launch 100% Pure New Zealand, 100% Pure Welcome. And we will deliver that message around warm and welcoming and care and respect and hospitality across several different channels. So through our earn channels, we'll invite media down on our international media program to come down and experience it for themselves. We have partnerships with airlines. We will have tactical campaigns.
Which airlines are we speaking about here, Stephen?
So we will work closely with Air New Zealand, with Singapore Airlines, and of course support the national carrier, Malaysia Airlines, to the best of our ability to really ensure that connectivity and the different options that customers have or consumers have is clear and is evident. The other area that we are closely working on is obviously we're very aware of the Muslim travel sector and the importance of it, not only to Malaysia, but to the rest of the world. And recently we collaborated with a content creator called Have Halal Will Travel, and they came down to New Zealand and created some amazing content that covered a range of topics, including trips for first-timers to New Zealand, highlighting all of the halal-friendly offerings that Muslim travellers would need to plan their itinerary when they visit New Zealand.
So, Stephen, just quickly again, so when can we expect this campaign to go full speed in Malaysia?
It's already full speed in Malaysia. So if you go onto Facebook and you are searching or looking for a holiday, no doubt some of our messaging will have already popped up. You'll see some campaigns with the airlines that will also be very, very evident soon, and also with our core travel partners, what we call New Zealand specialists. We have over 500 New Zealand specialists throughout Malaysia who will be actively promoting New Zealand under the brand 100% Pure New Zealand, 100% Pure Welcome.
Stephen, it's been a pleasure speaking to you this morning. I've been speaking to Stephen Dixon, the Regional Manager of South and Southeast Asia at Tourism New Zealand. And you've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Sharitz Abdullah for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.